Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. I am really honored to introduce you to my friend, Mary Prommer. As you guys know, I participate in something that she coordinates called Gathering of Leaders. I've gone a couple of times over the last few years to a conference, and Mary is the coordinator of that. She also is on the staff of the Diocese of Texas as a consultant with specific work around helping congregations there think about how to become welcoming, inviting, and connecting congregations in the community that they serve. Mary became an Episcopalian because a friend called her and invited her to church. And when that happened, she became one of our best leaders. And she's leading these conferences and these workshops throughout the country. And she gets to corral rambunctious young clergy and bishops on a regular basis. We have 5 gatherings a year that she gets us all coordinated and organizes us and leads us. And so I'm excited to have her here, and she's going to offer our sermon today. So Mary, preach away.
Thank you, Gar. You know, it's like herding cats when you're herding clergy, which is difficult to do. The power of forgiveness. Yesterday, here at St. Thomas the Apostle, I brought the invite, welcome, connect, newcomer work to your clergy and lay leadership and folks from 7 other congregations. I believe that effective newcomer ministry includes 3 vital essentials. Invite, which is evangelism. Welcome is the ministry of hospitality. Connect is giving meaning to membership and empowering laity for ministry. I share the deep truths of these 3 essentials. The deep truth of invite is courage versus fear. The deep truth of welcome is seeing the other. The deep truth of connect is the sacred act of listening. And I spoke of how relationship runs throughout the whole work. And so what is today's gospel and parable on forgiveness have to do with invite, welcome, connect? My answer would be, if relationship is at the heart of newcomer ministry and love is the soul of invite, welcome, connect, then forgiveness and reconciliation are the glue that hold them together. The great rabbinic sage Rabbi Israel Salanter, who lived in the 1800s, was once spending the night at a shoemaker's home. Late at night, the rabbi saw the man working by the light of a flickering, almost extinguished candle. He went over to the man and said, "Look how late it is. Your candle is about to go out. Why are you still working?" The shoemaker, undeterred by the rabbi's words, replied, "As long as the candle is burning, it is still possible to mend." For weeks afterward, Rabbi Salanter was heard repeating the shoemaker's words, "As long as the candle is burning, it is still possible to mend." As long as there is life, as long as the candle is burning, we can mend. We can learn to forgive and reconcile with those from whom we've become estranged. We can work on learning to express our anger fairly. We can help make peace within our families of origin, our parish families, our Episcopal and Anglican families. So I ask you this morning, what mending must you attend to while the candle is burning? The word forgive has a Greek derivative meaning to let go, to set free. When we choose to walk the difficult, sometimes slow and painful path of forgiveness, we release our past to heal our present. If we refuse to be open to forgiveness, our wounds and our hurts will always have a hold on us. We will not be able to fully let go, and our grief will continue, and we will always, always be in bondage to the person or the event that wounded us. The dictionary's definition of the word reconcile is to make friends again, to win over, to settle an argument or a difference, to bring into harmony or agreement. To reconcile is to put an end to hostility. So why are forgiveness and reconciliation so hard? They are hard because they are costly. They are hard because they require us to be vulnerable. We are called to be utterly transparent in our Christian witness, and it's not an easy thing to do. God calls us to a life of continual self-examination, to humility, to love, to be in relationship with each other, to transformation. We are called to be vessels of truth. Opening the doors of our souls for healing will in turn open the doors of healing for others. Insofar as you open such doors for another, you gain God, in the sense that you become a place where God happens for someone else. You become the space for grace to occur. Profound quote by Gandhi says, "We must become the change we want to see in the world." Some of you may recall a number of years ago, a local man stormed into a peaceful Amish school in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, proceeded to kill 5 children and wound 5 others. The world held its collective breath as the horrific news spread. The panic-stricken media rushed to the scene, only to find that the Amish community was gathering quietly, enfolding their grief within their normal circle of daily communion and prayer. The Amish did respond. Within days, the Amish took a step that displayed incredible compassion and forgiveness, and it astonished the world. They went to the home of the man who had wounded and killed their children to offer words of condolence and forgiveness. After his shooting spree, the killer had committed suicide, left behind a widow and small children. The story of the shooting quickly stimulated a national conversation about both the Amish and forgiveness. How were the Amish able to forgive so quickly? How is it that they were able to practice what others only preach? Is this what it means to live an authentic Christian life? Well-known Catholic writer Joan Chittister suggests that it was the Christianity we all profess, but which the Amish practiced, that left us stunned. Interestingly enough, I found an old quote by Chittister that I've carried around with me for years. Excerpted from her book, In Search of Belief, she writes, "Perhaps forgiveness is the last thing mentioned in the creed because it is the last thing learned in life. Perhaps none of us can understand the forgiveness of God until we ourselves have learned to forgive." As long as there is life, as long as the candle is burning, we can mend. The inner work we must do is difficult, but the reward is freedom. It took years for me to realize that I needed help working through the deep-seated resentments and hurt that I'd held so close all my life. When I finally found a therapist who happened to be Episcopalian, I was Southern Baptist at the time, it took a little over 2 years going to her every single week for me to open my heart to healing and forgiveness. I remember at one point telling her I was ready to throw in the towel. It was so difficult. And I remember her admonishing me to continue doing the work. And I'm glad I did. They say that God cannot heal what you do not reveal, but the reward for it is freedom. Not too long after those 2 tough years of really inner therapeutic work, I attended a conference in Houston, came to a place spiritually and emotionally where I consciously chose to forgive my father. I had held grievances against him for many years. I remember sitting down on a Saturday night, writing him a letter telling him such, and asking him to forgive me as well. I called him early the next morning, a Sunday morning, and I read it to him. with tears in his voice, my father forgave me, and there was reconciliation. Just this past June, my almost 93-year-old father died, and I was with him when he took his last breath. What a holy moment for me. As he died, I realized that I had no regrets about my relationship with him. We had forgiven and reconciled with each other. As long as there is life, as long as the candle is burning, we can mend. The writers of Holy Scripture speak often of transformation and love. It's not easy to love. It's not easy to love those with whom you disagree, those who ignore you, those who say hateful things about you, those who verbally, spiritually, physically, or sexually abuse you. It's so much easier just to hate and to stay bitter, angry, resentful, and unforgiving. It is so much easier just to stay angry. Once there was a man who was bitten by a dog that had rabies. He goes to the hospital and the prognosis is really bad. Doctors tell him he's not going to live. All at once he takes out a pen and a piece of paper and he begins writing feverishly. And the doctor says, "What are you doing?" The man replies, "I'm writing down all the people I'm going to bite."
Yeah.
One of my favorite authors is Presbyterian theologian Frederick Buechner. He writes of anger. Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The feast, the skeleton at the feast is you. The skeleton at the feast is you. God calls us to love and to forgive. He compels us to love. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then he says this, love your neighbor as yourself. To forgive is to give up the exhilaration of one's own unassailable rightness. And there is loss in that. Only it is the loss of an illusion. And what is gained is unmistakably real. The chance to live again, free from the bitterness that draws the sweetness from our lives. The chance to be truly transformed by God. Forgiveness lies at the heart of our faith in God and our love of one another. Can it be that the deep truth of this gospel story of forgiveness intends to work some transformation in our individual lives? Could it be that God is calling you out of your unwillingness to forgive? Forgiveness, reconciliation, is a marvelous, sacred thing. So I ask you this morning, what mending must you attend to while the candle is still burning? May this be our prayer today, that we have the courage to forgive, that we have the courage to reconcile. And if we don't have the courage, that we ask God for the willingness. May we be transformed by the love and forgiveness that only God can give. Amen.